Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday. Found him in a hole on 15. Yeah, that one. Some boys chased him in the cut. He scared more than anything. He wouldn't tell me where he lived till this morning.
Well, thanks for seeing to him. He usually can take care of himself. Be good that way.
Little man.
Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hoffman, and I feel like I have not been here in forever. And it's because I have not been here in forever. It's been a few weeks. Yeah, we had a couple interviews that were posted and stuff like that, but I have not done an actual show in a few weeks, and I apologize for that. Look, it was a combination of things, all right? One, we had the Middleburg Film Festival last week, which took up all my time. Two, I was sick after that because every time I go to a festival, I get sick. Every time I get sick. And I'm ashamed to say WWE 2K17 came out and it's taken up all of my time. So I apologize for that. But yeah, but we're back. And we're back just in time, actually, because that clip you just heard was from Moonlight, Barry Jenkins' long-awaited follow-up. To a movie you might not have heard of that came out about 8 years ago called Medicine for Melancholy, which I thought was at least an inventive film that showed a lot of promise. I thought it did a really good job of exploring racial identity through the lens of a romantic comedy. And, you know, I've been waiting to see what Jenkins would do next, so Moonlight is it, and I've been dying to talk about this thing, and I really want to talk to my friend Tim Gordon about it, because I know he's seen it. He saw it a few weeks before me, and he and I, you know, we like to banter back and forth about the black films, especially the ones that look like they could be Oscar contenders, and I want to get his perspective on Moonlight now that I've seen it myself. So we're going to talk about that with him in just a minute. I want to see if I can get him to hang around for a while and talk about Inferno. I hope he's seen it. I don't know if he has or not. If not, who cares? It's Inferno. I don't think anybody cares about Inferno. That's the third film in the Dan Brown series starring Tom Hanks and directed by Ron Howard. You know, those movies that started with the Da Vinci Code. Yeah, I know. So if we don't talk about that, who cares? But I really want to get his perspective on the Middleburg Film Festival as well and pick his brain on what he thinks the best movies he saw at the festival were. So we're going to talk with him about that in just a second. But today is actually Halloween, and you know, I'm not going out and doing any trick-or-treating, and I'm not opening my doors for anybody who comes out here up here looking for candy. If there's any candy in this house, I'm eating it. I'm not giving it away. Today is Halloween, and you know, you're probably going to see a lot of sites that are going to be out there telling you to go see which horrors you should be watching and stuff like that. You know, I'm not going to do that. We're not doing that over at PunchDrunkCritics.com. We've done it before. I wasn't in the mood to do it this year, and I don't think anybody else on the site was in the mood to do it this year. But you know, if you're going to go watch some horror movies, you know, go check out some of the classic. Go check out The Exorcist. I think that's like the best Halloween horror movie. For me, it is anyway. I love The Exorcist. That's my go-to choice. It's always The Exorcist. So check that one out. Or go see something like The Descent. That's a great one, too. I can't think of any, like, modern movies. Maybe The Witch. That would fall into a category of being a great horror movie to watch this time of year. The Witch might be a good choice. If you haven't seen that one, definitely go and check that out. But anyway, enough about Halloween. Let's bring in Tim Gordon. And let's talk about Moonlight. What up, Tim Gordon?
Man, first of all, I am hot about the opening of this show, man. First of all,
wow.
I haven't done a show in 2 or 3 weeks either, and I'm not apologizing because if you know what we do every year, we are busy this time of year, man. So the fact that
I can't
stop down for an hour, hey, people, I'm watching movies, man.
I think everybody knows that we get busy this time of year, but I don't like being away for as long as I've been away. It's been like 3 weeks. I don't like that. And that's just me. I'll happily apologize when I take that much time away. I should be able to find an hour somewhere in between. But honestly, you know how sick I've been over the last week. So that's been my thing.
I keep telling you, man, you got to take yourself, man. You're a young man. Stop it.
I know. Secondly,
how is it like five of y'all over at Punch Drunk Critics and nobody can put together, do what we do at Film Gordon, man. We have an evergreen 17 horror movies you need to check out. It worked. Halloween, scary time of the year.
You know what? We may actually have one of those posts, and if we do, then maybe I'll repost it. But we did a whole 30 days of Halloween thing 1 year where we all posted a different thing like throughout the entire month of October. That was fun, but it was a lot more work than I intended for it to be. But
just find the link to that and put that back up today.
I know, right? I know. I was going to dig it through the archives and see what we got. Maybe we do have like one of those. I know that we do have one of those, you know, movies to watch in Halloween and just repost it. I'll tell John if we post it.
Anyway. That's funny. Yeah, but, when you said that, I was thinking the same thing. I said, let me go and find mine and put mine up today.
Well, man, I'm glad to have you on today, man, because I've been trying to get – I've been wanting to talk to you about Moonlight since I finally had a chance to see it. And I know you saw it a few weeks ago before I did. And in between that time, you and I did our kind of Oscar preview where we looked at some of the black movies that had a chance of being contenders, and I couldn't really speak to Moonlight because I hadn't seen it yet. But and you were kind of telling me that you didn't think it reached that level. And now that I've seen it, I don't know if I agree with that. I actually kind of think it might. Might actually break in there.
Well, let me tell you, it's interesting, man. Mm-hmm. I saw the movie, like you said, about a month ago. And I literally went straight to, like, a hangout spot and wrote a review that was probably about 700 words, man. And I gave it a B+. And what I talked a lot about in the review was that there were a couple of things that jumped out at me about what Barry Jenkins did with this film, is that he kind of approached it in a way where when you're doing a story that's not the typical story, it was a coming-of-age story, but it was a coming-of-age story about a young man struggling with his sexuality. But instead of painting it like most of these films do, where, you know, you have the highly sexualized aspect of the story, Jenkins leaves that out and then concentrates on the emotions in these small, really powerful scenes that are sprinkled throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this film that's basically a story of three relationships, the relationship between Chiron, the young boy, and Juan, the drug dealer, Chiron and his drug-addicted mother, and then finally Chiron and his lifelong friend Kevin, who, as an adult, is played by Andre Holland. So I also got a chance, which I was surprised you didn't do this a couple of days ago, to talk to Barry Jenkins and the gentleman who wrote the unproduced play, and which I didn't know, Travis, until I sat down with him, that the play was his story. I mean, he is Chiron in real life, and it blew me away when I came to that discovery. like, oh, damn, this is your story. So, you know, so so and the one last thing I would say about Moonlight before I give my opinion on it is Randy Shulman. I'm not sure if you met him, the brother from Metro Weekly, the guy who was down at the hotel with us when we were at the Four Seasons.
Yeah,
he writes the publication that's like the gay publication, Metro Weekly. But he pulled me and Nell Minow to the side and was talking about Moonlight. And he said a lot of the same things that I was saying, that, you know, the tenderness and the way it was shot. He thinks that, because he told us what his, I forget the name of the film that he said was his favorite gay movie. He said that he thinks Moonlight surpasses that. And to him, it's probably the most important characterization of African Americans in the nurturing said he's seen since Boys in the Hood. And I was
damn. I actually started my review saying that this might be the most important movie you see this year. And I agree with that, because, you know, one of the things this movie does that almost no movie does is explore what it is to be a black gay man in this country, you know, at any point in time. And that is just something that you just never see in the movies, period. You know, we as black people, we have sort of a contentious relationship with homosexuality. You know, it cuts against our ideas of masculinity more so than it does, you know, white people. You know, we picture ourselves as masculine dudes always, but homosexuality cuts against that. You know what I mean? And so we have this really kind of this odd relationship with it, and to have a movie depict it in such a normalized way, in such a universal way. I compared it to the way that Brokeback Mountain made people, you know, kind of change the conversation about being homosexual. But this, I think, is a far better movie than that was. It's free from the Hollywood drama that movie had. You know, it has none of that, basically. And like I said, it's about being an African-American and gay, which is just something we've never seen before, something totally fresh and new, which is why I think this movie is so important. And it's just a damn well-made movie, too. I mean, it's one of the most gorgeously shot movies I've seen. And you know, I just feel like, when people look at it, when the Oscar voters look at it, they're going to get a sense of that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think now, again, like I said, man, we've had an opportunity to see several of what are going to be the Oscar favorites, man. And and kind of where I sit on this, right, is that I understand that there's things that Tim Gordon likes, and then there's things that Oscar voters like that may differ from what Tim Gordon likes, right? So you and I have talked all year, and I still think that in my top, I would say top two, maybe top three, is still The Birth of a Nation. But due to all of the circumstances that have happened this year, that movie is probably not going to get a nomination this year. And I'm good with that, because I understand that the filmmaker has been severely screwed, and it is what it is. At the same time, I know that Census is a movie that is highly anticipated and will probably be a player in the race, unless it is a straight-up dog and we watch it and go, nah, man, this movie's not good. But if it's good, it's going to be in the conversation at the end of the year, as well as Hidden Figures that we're going to see in about 3 weeks. Moonlight, you got to remember, in the Best Picture race, man, you got 9 movies in that race. And in the history of Hollywood, they've never had 3 predominant films told about the African-American experience in the race at the same time. They've had 2, but never 3. And I don't know if it is Moonlight the film, because you got to also remember that the Oscar voters are predominantly 2 things, Travis, and I'm not speaking out of school by saying this. they are Jewish, and they are gay. And if you come along with a transformative film that speaks to that constituency, then there is there's a large amount of voters that, if it speaks to them in that way, that movie is in the conversation. And from what I'm reading in reviews, I think it will. I think you're right. I think Moonlight is the film that I might have underestimated when I saw it, but I think it might be a movie that absolutely has a better than average shot of being in the race. Now, does that take away a slot for Hidden Figures? Is there still room for Hidden Figures? Because, you know, La La Land's in the conversation. Manchester by the Sea is in the conversation. I don't know.
Jackie,
do you think Lion's in the conversation?
I think Lion is in the conversation. I think Lion is in the conversation. And I'm looking at IndieWire's updated list of what they think the nominees will be. And I don't always trust Greg Elwood, but he's a guy who's been doing this for a long time. And, you know, and I look at his top 10. He has Moonlight in there. He also has Spences.
Okay.
He also has Hell or High Water, which I actually think will get into the top 10 because I don't know if there's been a better reviewed movie this year than Hell or High Water.
Very good movie.
It's a great movie. In fact, I'm waiting for that screener to arrive so I can rub it in Rocky's face. Jackie is in there. La La Land. Lion.
I would not put Jackie in my top 10, but that's just me.
Right. I'm still debating on that. I know her performance deserves to be in there. I'm still debating on the movie itself. Manchester by the Sea. Sully, which I would not put in there, even though I think it's a good film.
I would not put Sully. Absolutely not. Oh,
I wouldn't either, but I know, but you know, it's probably going to get in there the same way Captain Phillips got in there a few years ago when it didn't deserve to be in there. You know, and I feel like they're kind of doing the same thing. You know, and I feel like it's probably going to get in there because of that. Silence. Which I feel like it's premature because not one person has seen Silence and it's not even done yet. I feel like it shouldn't be there, but he has Silence in there. And then they have 20th Century Woman, which will be in there.
Good movie, man. Good movie.
Yeah. So and then on the outside looking in, they got movies like Allied, Arrival, A Monster Calls, which I think is great as well. The Birth of a Nation, Florence Foster Jenkins, which hell no, please don't put that in there. Gold, Hidden Figures, Live by Night, which I think is a movie we keep forgetting about and is probably going to get in there.
Let me tell you about another movie you just named off that. Now, you know, I saw Arrival, and I'm going back to see it for a second time tonight. Mm. I thought Arrival is the anti-Interstellar. You know, where I loved the first two-thirds of Interstellar, and I didn't like the third act, and they had problems getting that third act together. I think that I can't even pronounce the filmmaker's name. Denise Villeneuve, the guy that did.
This is on the way, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought everybody who saw that screening of Arrival, that's a really strong film. Now, is it a contender for Best Picture? I don't know. Does it deserve to be in the conversation? Yeah, I think so, man. I mean, have you seen it yet?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to see it next week, next Monday.
Arrival is really good, man. I really like Arrival, man. So,
yeah,
like I said, man, I don't know, Travis. I mean, when you're looking at this race, man, there's stuff that we like, but then you got to think of stuff that has appeal, and that's why Sully is one of those strange movies, man. I absolutely don't believe that Sully is one of the 10 best movies of the year, but will there be people who like Clint Eastwood and Tom Hanks? Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they will, but it's like the same thing with Meryl Streep. Everything Meryl Streep does doesn't deserve an Oscar nomination, but there are people who would disagree with me and disagree with you.
Yep, exactly. And then we got – Go ahead.
I was saying that we were talking about Moonlight, and I just kind of glossed over it. I think Moonlight is a really, really well-made movie, and I appreciated it more after talking to Barry Jenkins and understanding what he was doing, because I told him, since we're going to be going to the Critics' Choice Awards next month, I said, I'll see you at the show. And he was like, come on, man. I was like, okay, when I see you at the show, remember we had this conversation because you're going to be in the room for the Critics' Choice Awards for this film. But, yeah, man, that dude is talented. And I said, man, you get ready to get the A-lister treatment like Ryan Coogler got after he did Straight Outta Compton. Some studio's going to call you up with a bunch of money like, we need you, Barry Jenkins.
Well, the good thing about it is, is that Moonlight is doing incredibly well at the box office over its first 2 weeks. It's only in 36 theaters, but it's averaging like 25,000 per site. And so it's at 1.4 million already after like 2 weeks, which is amazing for that, for this size of movie on this subject matter. You know, it's a great film. It's a great run already, and they haven't even gotten, if it gets an Oscar push and it gets maybe 1,500 to 2,000 theaters, it could do remarkably well. So we're just, so I think that also is another reason why I think it's almost assured to get in there, is that it seems to have audience backing too. Like, people seem to be going out and seeking the film out, which is not always the case with some of these Oscar movies, you know. People just don't go see them, no matter what we say about them.
Well, you know what, man? Since you're talking about movies making money that need to be in the conversation, man, don't forget Madea Boo. That's been number one for 2 weeks in a row.
I was going to ask you how many Black Reel Awards that was going to get nominated for this year.
I can tell you as sure as my name
some.
Is Tim Gordon. Huh?
It's going to get some.
Well, no. I was going to say, as sure as your name is Travis Hobson and my name is Tim Gordon, you can believe that it will get as many nominations as this telephone that I'm holding in my hand.
But that ain't up to you, though. That's up to us. You don't do the voting. We do. So you never know.
Okay.
Man. Maybe in the comedy category, somebody's like, hey, Boo Madea Halloween, man. You can't front on it. It's been number one for 2 weeks. Beat Tom Cruise and
man.
Tom Hanks.
Let me share an exclusive with the audience, the Punch Drunk Cinema Royale audience, man.
Yeah.
I am the founder of the Black Reel Awards, and we have 105 judges that you know, who are in different branches, right? I,
mm-hmm.
the founder, handpicked all those people. I handpicked them because I understand kind of like what their sensibilities are. So this is not the NAACP Image Awards. This is not any other janky award. We have serious critics, and Travis is laughing, and I realize these are jokes, man, but I just want to make sure that nobody at home is expecting that to occur because it's not going to occur. But you know, honestly, man, I will tell you this much, man, because people have been teasing me for 2 weeks behind this. I don't know Tyler Perry. I've only interviewed him. Well, I've been in a room with him once, never got the chance to ask him a question. I respect him as a businessman. I just think he is a terrible filmmaker. And as a film critic, my job is to critique movies and the people that make them. So I don't think it's mean of me to say or to give you my opinion on the type of filmmaker he is. I don't like his movies, and I think that he's now made 18 movies, Travis. Each movie gets worse than the last. Barry Jenkins has made 3, and 2 of them are really, really good. Same thing with Ava DuVernay. Same thing with Ryan Coogler. Same thing with Steve McQueen. There are tons of people that look like you and I who are making really good movies, man. So that Tyler Perry is
getting better over time. Tyler Perry is not
getting better
over time. Right.
Come on, dude. How are you steadily regressing like 13 years after you started making movies? Like, really?
Right. Would you say that Lee Daniels has become a better director? Or would you say he's the same? I think he's the same.
Well, let me tell you something, man. And you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this. So again, a scoop for your audience. You know that I have access to Fox's portal. Remember we were having these conversations? So I get to screen everything that's on the Fox portal before it comes on television. I saw Star on Friday night. You know, the new series that's going to debut in December?
Yeah.
Travis.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I watched that thing, man, and when I got done, I said, I'm going to give it a C. I think it's darker, stripped down, not well written. I don't know who the audience is going to be for this thing when it debuts in December. And a good friend of mine, I told you, Charles Murray, was the showrunner, the original showrunner on it. He quit, like, I don't know, in August. And right. he told me, you know, without divulging too much, that he didn't like the environment that was going on behind the scenes with this show, which stars Queen Latifah and Lenny Kravitz and a bunch of unknowns.
Yep.
Dude, I think Lee Daniels just sees the world in a certain way. And to a certain extent, he reminds me of Tyler Perry from the standpoint that he's the kind of guy who's got issues that he's dealing with in his own life, and he tries to put it on the screen, so he's working his stuff out. And I'm like, dude, don't just sit through therapy and work this stuff out that way. Don't make movies like Paperboy or Shadowboxer or shows like Star to kind of work through your personal angst, man. It's like, ah. So yeah, I don't think he's getting worse. I just think Lee Daniels is who Lee Daniels always has been. You know, the movies I named, Precious. It's the kind of film, Monsters Ball, that he produced. He loves to wallow in the dark places with his stories and put viewers in very uncomfortable scenarios. Like, even with Empire, you sit there sometimes and watch Empire and go, really? Come on, man. That's my impression, Travis. I apologize, man.
You're good, man. This is why I have you on the show, man, so we can just talk. So it's all good, man. Did you see Inferno?
I did see Inferno.
Okay.
And I wish you would have been at the screening when we saw Inferno, because our interaction was better than the movie.
All right. Well, let me take a quick break, man. We're going to talk about Inferno in just a minute. We'll be right back. Care if he's the carrier or not. Welcome back, everybody. That was a clip from Inferno, the third film in the Dan Brown adaptations from Ron Howard and starring Tom Hanks. These movies began, I think, back in 2006 with the Da Vinci Code. And I remember reading the Da Vinci Code at the time. It was because everybody had read the Da Vinci Code back then, except for me. So I read it. And, you know, I thought it was a good page turner. I didn't think too much of it. And then the film to me was so much lesser than the book. To me, the movie ended up looking like a more serious version of National Treasure, which is not what it should have been. Then the sequel came out 3 years later, Angels and Demons, one of the handful of movies to ever put me to sleep in the middle of a movie. It never happens. And then six years later, we have Inferno, which is a movie that I don't think anybody was really clamoring for at all. But here it is anyway, and it did really crappy over the weekend, as anybody with half a brain could have expected. And then the movie itself, I thought it was fine, but ask me if I saw Inferno 2 weeks from now, and I guarantee you I have to stop and think about whether or not I did.
I'm sorry, man. Oh, man, you are hilarious. You want me to say something?
I can't. No, go ahead, man. I just don't think I'm going to remember this movie 2 weeks from now. I just don't think I will.
Well, the one thing I will start with, because, you know, this is kind of a Tim Gordon trademark. You know, mm-hmm. I always look at the title of a movie, and I go, Inferno. Yeah, that's really the perfect title, because Inferno, this movie, blew up this whole franchise, this whole thing, man. It is burning in Inferno, man. But I will just set this up for you so you can get an idea of what I was teasing before the break about how we had more fun than the movie itself. It was me, May, and Nell sitting side by side, right, watching this movie. And, you know, the fact that, of course, I forget the time, Hank, what is Hank's character's name is, but
Robert,
wakes
Robert
up in the hospital. Yes, Mr. Professor Langdon wakes up, you know, disoriented in a hospital with a very attractive nurse who, you know, 15, 20 minutes into the movie, I'm already suspicious. I'm like, man, this woman is like Superwoman, man. She knows everything. She speaks multiple languages. She's helping him decipher stuff. I'm like, don't you have a job? Don't you have something else to do? I mean, I thought you worked in the hospital. They're traveling around Europe. I'm looking over at May and Nell going, who's paying for all of this? You know, they're riding around. I'm like, it was the most, and I'm trying to figure out, because I might have to coin a new phrase. But Travis, you ever watch movies where they have what I call movie logic, like it's stuff that wouldn't make sense to average people, but in the movies it's perfect. And it's like this movie is all about movie logic. You know, there's somebody mysterious following him. He's really trying to remember what's happening, trying to figure out who's good, who can he trust, who can't he trust, and there's a cast of characters. And by the time they got to the twist, I was like, oh, my God, that was the worst twist ever. I was like, really?
The reason why that twist sucked is because it was, you saw it coming, because everybody has had like a little small twist. Like everybody was set up as a red herring, right? Everybody was set up as a red herring of some sort. So everybody got their little reveal. So like Omar Sy's character is like, okay, you know, he starts off good. So you're like, well, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop there. You know, and then there's the lady he's working for, she seems like she might be all right. So you're like, kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop there. There's only one person that you were still waiting for the other shoe to drop, but it was her, the girl that was hanging out with Tom Hanks the whole time. So you're just kind of like, oh, okay, now I can see where this is going. So I mean, the teases were not set up well. But they also, most of these characters, their reveals came and you just didn't care. And they spent so much time setting up these twists that there was no actual, there was no like momentum to the story, to the adventure. It's supposed to be centered around Dante's Inferno, but I didn't really learn anything about Dante's Inferno. Not really. I didn't really care about Dante's Inferno by the end of it. At least I could say with the Da Vinci Code, I kind of got wrapped up in the whole Knights Templar thing, you know, because that was kind of cool. You know, and there was some legitimate mystery surrounding that. There were things they were actually discovering, and at least in a sense, you felt like you were discovering it right along with them. But that, none of that was happening here. It was just run from this point, make a mistaken trip to Venice for no reason, and you're like, really? You know, just all this kind of stuff. The best thing these movies have going for them is that they're shot in these gorgeous places like Geneva and Venice and Istanbul. So the cinematography is amazing. The lady behind me apparently has either never traveled in her life or has been to all these places before, because every time they switched scenes, she was going, oh, so beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. All I kept hearing all night during the movie. So, right. I mean, I know cinematography was great, the movie looks gorgeous. I just didn't care about this plot to eradicate 90% of the world, and I didn't care about it.
Well, not only, and it's funny you would say that. The reason I was laughing so hard at your intro is because that's exactly how I feel, man. I mean, I've got movies, and you and I do the same thing. You know, we see a movie, and then we put a poster on Pinterest to kind of, you know, keep count, but also to remind us at the end of the year what we've seen. Travis, I don't know the last time you've gone through your movie list and, like, started in January and went to now. I do this every month, and I swear, Travis, there are 20 movies on there that I've seen that I have, like, when I watch them and I go through the list and I go, damn, I did see that this year. Wow, that did come out. So Inferno would be one of those movies in December that I'd be like, oh, that was this year.
This was movie number 200 for me this year, by the way. This was number 200.
Hey, man,
and
congratulations.
I got a lot of movies like that. I'm looking over them, like, I'm scrolling through them right now. There's a whole bunch of movies. I'm like, Jesus, I did see that one, didn't I? I was like, oh, yeah, I did see The Family Fang this year. I was like, oh, yeah, I did see. I did see Last Days in the Desert this year. Oops. You know, but these movies I just totally forgot about, like, completely.
Man, you want to hear something scary. Look, Travis, you want to hear something scary. I was looking, you know, because I've been doing this since 2013. So I counted all of the movies from 2013, 14, 15, and the ones from this year. And I think it came to over 1,000 movies, man. So I'm averaging 250 movies a year. Now, to you and I, that doesn't sound like a lot of movies because, you know, when you're talking about 1,000 movies being released a year, and we're seeing a quarter of them. But when I talk to average people who have to go and pay for movies, the average person might see 20 movies a year, man. You're seeing 250. That's nuts.
Right.
It is nuts many movies we have to see.
People are always blown away when they find out how many movies I've actually gone to see, you know. Like, they're really seriously blown away. Like, Jesus Christ, I don't see that many movies in 10 years. You know? But it's, you know, that's the way it is, man. You just go see a lot. And I'm actually underperforming this year. I'm seeing less this year. And it's still a lot. So.
Yeah, man. I need you to step your game up, man. We got two more months to go, Travis. I'm going to need you to step that up.
I know, man. I know. I got to step it up. But we're getting screeners now, so the number will start to skyrocket soon because I'll start watching all the movies I didn't watch before. So, and you know who's been balling this screener season already? Netflix.
I got my little Constitution in the mail this morning. Did you get yours?
I got mine in the mail too. I'm gonna hold it up to Donald Trump like Khan did, like Mr. Khan did at the convention.
I hate to say this though, Netflix is balling, but Netflix needs to send some movies that I really want to watch.
The thing is,
they're sending
screeners of stuff that we can just watch on Netflix. So it doesn't really do us any good. It's just they're sending us a lot. They're just sending us a lot. But I could just go on Netflix.
I was gonna ask you. You know what my favorite screener is so far that I've received? I probably watched it more than any other screener. Believe it or not, is The Meddler. I love that movie, man.
Good movie.
I love
watching
Susan Sarandon. That's
one of those movies that I'll show to my family and my lady friends this season, because they'll like that movie. They'll like The Meddler.
Yeah, man. Did you interview her when she came to town?
I did. I love Marina Scafaria.
Yes, she is a very special woman, man. I like her a lot, man. So yeah, until better screeners come, that's my favorite right now.
Waiting for Hell or High Water. Hell or High Water. Come on.
God. You going to take a picture of it and put it online?
I am, especially if they only send it to BFCA. I'm going to take a picture of it and show it. Put it on the WACA board. And be an asshole. Be like, did anybody else get this today?
You are. Something's wrong with you, man.
No, that's
a, that's what Travis does every year with movies. Everybody get a copy of
this? Did anybody else get this one?
I'm waiting for you when we go see Hidden Figures in a couple of weeks. Talking about, man, I'm waiting for the rest of Wafka to show up for this one.
Did you get your invite to did you get your invite to the Almost Christmas interviews yet? Did you get that? I know we were talking about it. We were laughing that Nell guy, and we didn't get it.
Well, I don't know if I got an invite for the interview. I got an invite to run a promotion for the movie. To be perfectly honest, man, I think I'm good on Almost Christmas, man. I think you can go and hold that one down for the team.
I have no interest in seeing that movie. I have no interest in doing interviews.
Oh, man.
But
you know, they'll drag us together and be like, Travis
right
and
there.
Tim.
It's another Black Road Washington right there for you.
Oh, well.
It
has a better shot than Medea Boo.
Yeah, it might actually get,
look,
it might actually get nominated.
No, man, we've already talked about the top five of the Black Reel Awards. That is going to be probably the most intense competitive lineup we've ever had. If it's Fences, Hidden Figures, Moonlight, Birth of a Nation, and what am I leaving? Oh, and Loving. That's the other one. Wow. That's a power-packed top five right there.
Scrolling through my list of movies, let me ask you about two specific Black movies that came out earlier in the year. Southside with You and Race. How do you think they'll fare in the Black Reel Awards? Because I can see Southside with You actually doing fairly well in the Black Reel Awards.
Well,
what about Race?
Well, herein lies part of what the issue is. You just heard me name five movies, right? So those five films, I think, for the most part, are going to be your Best Picture nominees, my guess. But Stephan James is going to be a player in the breakthrough category. I could see him doing that, but I don't see much else for Race. Southside with You, again, another film where Parker Sawyer is probably going to be, he has a shot as a lead, depending on who else is in that category. But he's also a breakthrough candidate as well. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, some of these people will pop up in some of the other categories, but the top five films, man, I just think are just rock solid, man. And you can't move Southside with You. You can't move Miles Ahead. You can't move, I'm trying to think. If United Kingdom had come out this year, that would have really been interesting. The Amma Asante film that they moved to February.
Yep.
Oh, and also you have Queen of Katsway is another movie that's out there.
Yep.
I mean, this is probably the strongest year, or as Travis Hobson once said, we had the BFCA celebration for Black cinema in 2014. You did it 2 years too early.
Exactly.
This would have been the year to have done that. So
you know how big of a release Southside with You got this year?
Wait, say that again?
97 theaters. You know how wide of a
that
release
was it?
Southside with You got? Only 897 theaters. That was the biggest release it had.
That's
kind of a shame.
That. I mean, I'm surprised because you had a sitting president, the story of a sitting president and first lady.
The most popular
in their first
president
date.
In modern history. The most popular president in modern history.
And, you know, and it's a beautiful, romantic matter of fact. I'm hoping they send that movie as a screener because over the Thanksgiving holiday, Turkey and Southside with You would be an irresistible duo.
Oh, yeah. My family would love if I brought that movie over for Thanksgiving dinner. They would love that.
Look, Travis, for people listening,
I'm
sorry. This is what critics do when we get screeners at I'm sorry. I mean, I know people are sitting at home like, man, ain't that a bitch? I wish I could watch some of those. Sorry. You know, Wilson is another one. A friend of ours, Wilson Morales. Has Wilson ever talked to you about the stories of what he does during the holiday season, not only with his movies, but with all of the swag he gets in the mail? He's got a niece and nephew, man. Uncle Wilson is a superstar during the holiday season. You know, he had pop-up figures last year. What was it, for Star Wars? I was like, I absolutely hate you. And he was like, yeah, man, I took care of my niece and nephews. I was like, come on, man. Man. Well, you know, you can get some of those. All you have to do, Travis, is sign up to be a voter for the NAACP Image Awards. You can get some of that stuff, man. I can't do it, man. I don't want to have my name associated. I'm sorry. You laughing, man. You know, who knows who might get a Black Reel Award this year? I mean, a Image Award. Joel Edgerton might get an Image Award, man, for Loving. What are you laughing? I'm saying.
I mean, that wouldn't bother me so much. But there are other movies that, you know, they were nominated. They'd be like, really? I don't know if that would bother me so much. But
No. But I'm just saying it from a standpoint, man. That, you know, the Image Awards, man. They'll give an Image Award to anybody, man. I saw Justin Timberlake get one year. I was like, wait a second, man. Really? Justin Timberlake. So, well, yeah, man, it's that season, man. So, Travis, you realize we are now 5 weeks away from the Critics' Choice Awards, man. 5 weeks.
I know. I'm not close to being ready. I have not bought a single thing for it, and I don't.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea where I'm staying. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what's up.
Travis, in the room this year, look, in the room this year will be Ruth Negga for Loving, Emma Stone for La La Land. I'm trying to think who else might be in the room. Taraji P. Henson might be in the room. Viola Davis is going to be in the room for Fences. Denzel's in the room this year. I mean, it's going to be a good room. It's a good room.
I actually heard that we're going to nominate Viola Davis for Custody, not for Hit.
Yeah, if Kevin Sampson had a vote, he'd get nominated. That story was hilarious, man. Like, how can you be a respectable critic and think that was a good movie, man? But I mean, we all have blind spots, man. I've done it too, man, where I'll talk about certain movies and people will look at me like I'm an alien. Like, you like that movie? Yeah, it kind of
spoke to him because. That movie spoke to him because he has kids, I guess, is what he said. So, I mean, good for him. So,
yeah, know, I'm waiting for him to invite me on his show so that I can embarrass him on the air and go, really, player, that's the one you like? Oh, man. But your good friend, Mr. Rogers, he liked it too, man. You know, and I noticed you didn't give him any grief.
I never give him any grief because he never gives an opinion. He never says anything. So I never give him grief. But
I can't wait till the next time you and I together. I'm gonna pull him into a conversation.
He didn't fight forcefully for like Kevin Sampson did. So
Kevin Sampson was actually shocked
that we didn't like it. So.
Well, you know, the thing I love about you, Travis, in this whole process is that as we are grooming you for an executive management position in WAFCA, these are the sorts of things politically that you will have to learn how to do, man, to get along with all your brethren.
None of that is true. You're not grooming me for anything, but I appreciate you saying it all the time. It's not true.
Hey,
at all.
Man, it is so true. It is so true, man. That is too funny, man. But that's what's going on this week, man. I'm excited, man. And you're not going up to New York this week for the documentary awards, the BSCA documentary awards.
No. They can send me all the emails they want. I'm not going up there. I'm not going up there for that. I'm considering driving to Charlottesville on Saturday for the Virginia Film Festival. I'm debating it. I don't know if I will or not. We'll see. I told him I would come out there. I just don't know what I would go see. And I don't really want to be walking around there by myself. I mean, I did that the first couple of years. I just don't know if I want to do it again. So We shall see.
Yeah, that's a spot, man, that you really want to go to for like about a couple of days, man, because they got some amazing diners down there that you and I used to eat in. And
yes.
But they will show you some stank movies, man. I mean, John, I'm sorry. There are the only other festival I've gone to that has as many stank movies as Virginia has the propensity of having is Urban World. Urban World's another one, man. Oh my God.
Yeah,
man.
But you know, but the thing with Virginia is, you know, they also have Jackie this year. They got Jackie also. They got Loving. They got, I think they have Lion. They got almost all the movies that Middleburg has. It's just that's why it doesn't seem as good. When we used to go, like when I used to go, there was no Middleburg. So I would go up there and I would see a movie like Rust and Bone, which I had no chance of seeing anywhere else, you know? And,
right.
And if there was no Middleburg, we'd be talking about Virginia as like the greatest festival ever. We'd be like,
well,
this is the best thing
but,
that nobody's but Middleburg
doesn't. Well, we got a couple of minutes, man. I was going to say, we got a couple of minutes. We should talk about Middleburg, man. Middleburg has evolved into something. You and I were there from day one, right? Evolve into something really, really special that now everybody has gotten wind of, and it feels like we used to have our secret hangout, and our secret hangout is open to the public.
I know. When I started getting asked by people, am I going to Middleburg? Yes, I'm going to Middleburg. Are you going to Middleburg?
And we missed you this year. This is the first year in 4 years that we did our annual address with Sheila Johnson, and I had to do it by myself because Travis was in D.C.
Yeah, that kind of made me salty having to make that kind of decision, but I had to do what was best for the site in this case. But it's next year. Hopefully they'll have it all sorted out so I ain't got to make that kind of choice again. But I missed doing the thing with Sheila. I missed being there on Saturday night with everybody else, and everybody went to go see La La Land again. So I missed that stuff. But hey, I'll be back next year. It's no big deal.
Well, I think the big thing, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well,
we need to start what?
We need to start thinking about Sundance because our application should be going on probably today. They'll probably open up today. Press for Sundance. It's usually the end of October. It's October 31st. It doesn't get any later than this. So.
Well, herein lies the situation, man. I've got to figure out how to do something next year that I've never done before. With the film calendar now tightening up, you and I both talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off,
but as soon as I said that, I looked at my email, and there's the Sundance press credential application. Right there in my email.
Well, they will get mine by closing business today. We don't mess around with Sundance, man. Sundance comes in, voila, boom, you got it back.
Yeah.
But what I was saying, I want to try to do, see if I can do Comic-Con, and I want to try to do Toronto, and put in an application for Tribeca, man, but I'm probably not going to go. Tribeca, you just got to keep going to Tribeca or getting your credentials for Tribeca. But, yeah, man, Toronto you got to go to, man. You got to figure out a way to get to Toronto.
Yeah, I want to try to get into Toronto next year. It'll be good to have you at Comic-Con next year, too. I forgot that we had an interview on Wednesday, you and I. With Kenneth Lonergan.
Oh yeah.
From Manchester United. apparently we are in a round table, by the way. You, me, Nell, and May.
Oh well, that's not bad. That's not bad. I mean, because if it's me, you don't say it.
Yeah. No, it's that's
yeah,
that's
I mean
fine.
They took care of us last week, man. You and I got one on ones, man. How cool was that?
I know. It was awesome.
If you'd have stayed around,
awesome.
You'd have been one-on-one with the Moonlight folk, too. That was nice.
Yeah, it was just too long of a day. I had too much to do. Wasn't feeling well. I was tired. I just couldn't do all that crap. But,
so you're telling me you're not coming to hang out with me tonight? Is that what you're telling me?
for what were you seeing tonight? You're seeing
Arrival.
You're seeing
Arrival.
You're seeing Arrival tonight. No, I think I'm going to stay in. It's a post pay per view Raw, so I'll stay in and watch wrestling tonight. And next week I'll go to Arrival. Go to Arrival next week, man, so I can see it with you. Go next week.
Man, well, you got to remember, man, we have the movie of movies tomorrow night. So we got to get Strange. Yeah, we got to get Strange, because even if you had a pay-per-view, you'd be blowing off pay-per-view for Strange.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. We got Strange. That's
funny.
I'm seeing Moana on Wednesday, too. So it's going to be
Milano.
Moana, the Disney film.
Oh, yeah. I'll be at that as well. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to have time for Lonergan, man, and have to get up to what's-her-name at the same time. It's going to be tough.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're right, because our interviews are at 4:30.
Yeah, man, so it's going to be...
They're from 4 to 4:30, so, yeah, that's not going to be... That might not be...
Yeah, man. So the problem's going to be is that they have a 5:30 reception that I don't think anybody's going to go to, because unless you're not going up. Right.
I forgot about that, too.
Man, that's why I told you, don't beat yourself up, man. This is silly. I call it silly season, man. It's the busiest time of the year for people who do what we do, man. You can't do it all.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, all right, well, we're actually about to run out of time here. I didn't even notice, which is one of the good things about having you on here, is that the time flies by.
Yes, sir.
So tell everybody where they can find your stuff, Tim. I know they probably know already, but tell them anyway.
Man, it is simply thefilmgordon.com, and if you want to see me anywhere on social media, it's always Film Gordon, man. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, right. Everywhere.
And I am going to get off of here and start on my Sundance credential and just get it over with now, so I ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah, I ain't lying. That would be you and me both, except I've got to recreate mine from scratch, because the computer that had all my documents on it has broken down. So I don't even remember what I have. Yeah, it's gone. So I've got to recreate from scratch.
Oh, that's All right, man. Well, it's good talking to you, man. I will see you at a screening soon, my friend.
All right, man. You take care of yourself, man. Thanks for having me.
All right,
man.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming on. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay.
All right. That's my man, Tim Gordon, from thefilmgordon.com. And, man, we just kept rolling, man. We just kept talking. And that's the way it goes when me and him get together, man. We just keep talking, and nothing ever stops. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Cinema Royale. To listen to me and Tim just... That was about as inside the conversation as you could get. I hope y'all enjoyed it anyway, because we were having fun. We talked about Inferno, which neither one of us cared for all that much, and Moonlight, which we both think is going to be an Oscar contender. You definitely go and check out Moonlight if it's playing in a theater near you. It's bound to expand soon. And that was it. This is Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson. Check me out every day. ConstructCritics.com. If you're in the DC area, you can find me on Channel 26 as a PBS station, WETA Around Town. And on Thursday mornings, you can find me on WBAL Morning News in Baltimore, giving my thoughts on all the movie news and reviews of the week. So check me out in all those spots. All right. If you're into wrestling, hey, you can check me out on DailyDDG.com also. All right, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys soon. Hopefully later this week. Bye.